Today in our hot seat, we've got Erik Bouwelink, and he's the owner and founder of Master Voice. So Erik, good to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's a very nice opportunity. Look forward to having a very nice conversation.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our host today, Gabriel Karnaszewski, Chief Operating Officer, and Nimzy's Inga Boonen, Chief Growth Officer.
Erik, in one sentence, can you tell us what it is that Master Voice actually does?
Well, as the name already reveals, it has to do with professional voices. In our case, that means simultaneous interpretation or simultaneous translation. That has been my core business for the past, and I will make the count. So since 1990, I have been working as a freelance interpreter first, then I started to organize, but simultaneous translation has always been in the center of my interest and my passion up until today.
Wow. And when you were a kid, did you already dream of being an interpreter, or what did you expect to become?
Well, it actually started very early in primary school when I had my first lessons, English and French, and I was so excited about using another language, another code to reproduce a reality. And basically, that was what I was going to do later on as a conference interpreting, that is reproducing a reality from a speaker. So reproducing the thoughts, the reasoning. I found that so exciting when I had my first lessons, French and English, and I said, okay, I want to learn this code. I want to be on top of this, and I want to use this code to reproduce a reality in another language for another culture. So I made it my business.
Wow, I like the way you phrase that and you see it. When you're not working, how do you like to spend your time? Do you have any hobbies?
Well, yes, I do. And as a matter of fact, when I was very young, I always wanted to be a boxer. So, of course, boxing careers don't last very long, at least if you're wise enough to pull out in time. So I still hit the boxing bag from time to time. Of course, I have stopped my competition period. That would not be, going combination with my professional career. But it's still something I do to relieve stress and to also remove any thoughts that may haunt me on an average business day. And other than that, I also like to lift weights. That's another way to remove stress in a very efficient way.
Yes, I agree with that. And before you said that you participated in competitions, was that outside of Belgium as well, or how should I see that?
It was usually in Belgium, but I did have 15 fights and I won most of them. But the main lesson is to be able to take a punch and to pull through even in very difficult circumstances. So it's also a very good school in psychology, basically, if you stop on time, that is.
That makes sense. What about traveling? Is that one of your hobbies?
Well, it's actually not a hobby, because I should have to say yes and no. I have been traveling for more than 30 years as a conference interpreter. But believe it or not, most conference interpreters, they want to be at the destination to do what they like to do, what they love to do. And the travel is actually a burden that comes on top of that. So I actually felt much more relaxed when I was at home instead of taking my bags every week or every 2 weeks. And it was much more relaxing to stay at home and do nothing and just walk into nature, because we had our part of traveling on a weekly basis, which has changed, of course, in the meantime. I don't have to tell you that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And a last question on my end. What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Well, I've received many pieces of advice from various people, so it would be hard to pick one. But I think the main one is from a mentor And I picked it up at a seminar. His name is Carl. By the way, he was also a trainee in his younger days with Sir Anthony Robbins. I don't know if he picked it up right there, but it actually goes like this. And he made us tell it before a live audience. We had to speak it out loud, not one time, but 10 times, so that you actually tell yourself that this is a very big insight. And the insight goes as follows. You are responsible how you feel for your own mode, for your own mood. You're responsible for your own degree of happiness. Of course, you need to take care of people, and you need to make sure if you work with people in your business that they are okay. You need to take care of their well-being, but you're not responsible for someone else's happiness. And also you need to take full responsibility for your own happiness. So you could say it's self-evident, but it came through that they as an insight. And usually it takes an inspiring speaker for me to do that and not the, the speaker who doesn't feel inspired and who is not motivated by experiences that they actually had themselves.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think it's great advice, and maybe it's self-evident, but it's something that we tend to forget on occasion. So thank you for sharing that.
Exactly. Eric, thank you. I feel like we know you a little bit better, but now come the tough questions. So the very first one, and you mentioned that you started out as a freelance interpreter. What inspired you to make a company out of your activity?
Well, I think that coincides with the journey of many people in the language industry. When you start out as a freelancer, of course, you love your trade, whether it's as a translator or an interpreter. But then at some point in time, you feel the need and the urge to be on top of things, to organize the full solution, and also to be responsible for that full solution. And that includes the audiovisual support, the technicians, the other interpreters in your team, and making sure that is a good match in qualification for a specific conference, and also being responsible for that. And the first experience I had for an international conference, well, after that meeting, I actually said to myself, this is what I want to do for an indefinite period of time. And it feels so much more rewarding to be on top of the total organization and to offer the total solution rather than being part of the supply chain. With all respect for the freelance interpreters, because that's what I've also been doing for 30 years. And I've made the count 30 years, an average of 100 interpreting days a year with 10 speakers on average per day. That makes 30,000 speakers. So I haven't let it go in terms of the freelance interpreting, but now I do it only for my company and for my major accounts, which is twice as rewarding than just freelancing under contract.
All right, got it. What would you describe as the biggest challenge in your day-to-day work?
I think the biggest challenge was in March 2020. It was right after my birthday, and all the on-site meetings were cancelled like a domino effect, one by one. And we were actually in an existential crisis at the end of March, because there was no work and we were still dependent largely on on-site conference interpretation. Now that changed, of course, and we were lucky to overcome that challenge because we have been involved in the creation and co-creation of remote simultaneous interpreting way back in 2008. So I saw actually the creation of those popular platforms that came along later. And we've seen demos, and we also forged relationships with those partners to make sure that we were ready. And as from April, we were able to offer those solutions. But I can say that was the biggest challenge in my life, because we went from zero to hero and then back from hero to zero. And if you feel that existential crisis, well, it's the worst thing that happened to me. It was the biggest challenge, but we were able to manage it. And a few months later, we had perspectives to have bookings for the rest of the year. But I must admit, it was the biggest challenge I ever had in my business career.
All right. And so a parallel question to that, or mirror question, what was your biggest success? Or would you qualify that as the biggest success? Or is there a different story that qualifies?
Well, it may not come as a surprise, but that biggest challenge led to the biggest success, because we were offering, more than 90% of our activity was conference interpretation on site at meetings. Now that changed completely in 2020. It actually, the cycle was inversed and we offered more than 90% online interpretation. And now we see a good balance in hybrid meetings with online, hybrid and on site. And that combination was basically the biggest success because it offers much more opportunities. And there is another positive effect too, that we used to source interpreters from local venues or from local regions or geographies, and remote simultaneous interpretation opened up the opportunity to also source external resources from other geographies. And I learned to meet and experience the professionalism of other conference interpreters worldwide. And that was a wonderful experience. And we actually almost doubled our capacity just because of remote interpretation. So we are now on speaking terms with, and I've made the count with more than 3,260 conference interpreters. So that's, for us, it's a big achievement. And it's a positive side of the success that we continuously build, because it's a never-ending story. It's never finished.
Very nice. Thank you. I feel like you've alluded to these already. So when earlier, even as you mentioned, the sort of practical lessons out of your hobby, out of your passion for boxing. So the question goes, what lessons have you learned in business or throughout your career?
Well, I think I would say... it's extremely important to build relationships in the form of partnerships. And I remember in the old days, or in the early days, if you like, I used to think that you had to build your own business with your own resources, growing organically with your own people. But it was only, quite late in my career when I actually discovered that this is not the ideal approach. You need to be confident that partnerships can also work for you. So building great relationships is something that I would recommend to everyone. And it's also one of the major insights that I had to also grow and to learn more from peers in the language industry.
Very nice. Thank you. Another question then. What is the secret sauce to your company's success?
Yeah, I think there are many secret sauces, and it's not always one single solution that offers the best opportunities. But if I would have to name one, it would be the human approach. I mean, you cannot win big contracts by just entering, by just replying to an offer or a request for a quote. You need to show people that you have full ownership, that you understand what you're doing, that you are able to manage the risks, that you can share and communicate a plan of approach. And that is all part of the, well, let's say the more human approach. And that's basically for us the main thing in everything that we do. And also for newcomers, because I'm also responsible for the hiring and firing of new people on board. It's one of the first lessons that I tell them. Always make sure that you are there to help people. It's a human-to-human approach. It's a people business. And even if today project interpreter management systems are automated, there are workflows, etc., but you should never forget the humans behind the scenes. They are very important. And as a project coordinator as well, they need to make it clear that they are there to help and assist people, and that they know they can count on them every time. So the human touch is, for me, most important asset.
Absolutely. And I suppose this is a nice segue to another question we have here, is how do you motivate your team?
Yeah, that is also, that can be challenging at times. And we've seen that after the COVID crisis, there was some kind of a psychological crisis, because all of a sudden there was this uncertainty that from one day to another, the world could change so dramatically. And we also had to adapt and learn in that sense. And one of the main lessons that I have learned is to take distance and to also trust other people in the organization to take ownership and to take responsibility. But while I'm saying that, relaxed, it is a difficult journey, and you need to take it step by step, and you need to be open and transparent. I don't see any other way to build great relationships also in our company.
Very good. Thank you. And sort of a couple of last questions we have here for you. So what is your pet peeve when it comes to clients?
Yeah, I think in the world of interpretation, one of the most frequently asked questions from event planners is that, why do you need to work in pairs? Why do interpreters work with two interpreters in one booth? Is one not enough? And even after 30 years, we get that question very often. So it's not difficult to give a qualified answer, but it still comes back. And it's a continuous effort in education to tell people that it has to do, of course, with a concentration effort, that it is absolutely required that after about 30 minutes, cognitive effort needs to be relieved by a second human interpreter. And that's a continuous educational effort. And it's one of the frequently asked questions that I would rather not see so frequently. But there you have it. You asked it, so I told you.
Very good. Well, we'll distribute this video in all kinds of platforms and media so that hopefully people won't ask it again, or maybe a few people less. Did you ever have to, and sir, you mentioned this before, but did you ever have to fire a friend or a family member?
Well, in the past 30 years, we had to let go some people, but friends or family members were not part of that process, luckily, because otherwise it could have been more painful. And in this respect, it's good that you asked this, because I also had to change my philosophy towards relationship with employees, in a sense that today, of course, there is no longer a career from the cradle to the grave. You are connected with an organization for a number of years. It can be 1 year, it can be 3 years, 5 years. It doesn't make sense to look at the statistics of the industry. What I always tell people when they come on board is, everyone has a due date. They don't like me telling that, and then they're surprised. But everyone has a due date. But what I expect as an employer is that as long as you stay within the organization, we expect it to be with 100% commitment. If that is no longer the case, if you don't see perspective, we need to talk about this immediately. But as long as they stay on board, we expect it to be with 100%. So, but I didn't have to fire any friends in the process. I'm happy that didn't happen.
Very good. Thank you. And so the last question for today, what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs starting their own business in this industry?
Well, I think I've already hinted what I find very important, and I would say the combination of total ownership and building relationships. That is extremely important. Ownership used to be a buzzword for me until someone told me what it actually means. It's taking full responsibility for what you do and what you offer, and not just restricting yourself to the scope of the activity that's on your contract. It needs to be a total experience, a total solution, and everyone can contribute to that total experience. Also, as a freelance linguist, I've experienced that myself. So total ownership and taking total ownership and building relationships. And it's better to start way early and not late in your career, like I did myself. Everyone has to learn sooner or later, but total ownership and relationships, building great relationships, is the best advice I can share in this respect.
Thank you very much. Very insightful. Thank you for sharing your journey.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Eric. And if anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, do sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
And for the viewers, this was all, folks. Thank you for watching, and look out for our next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website.